Amos is writing, he's preaching, he's prophesying in the name of the Lord about 760 BC. That's a long time ago. And we've thought about, well, what kind of connection does that have with us today? And remember the fundamental reason that we have, why would this be important? Why would this be? It's a long time ago, that Old Testament. The fundamental reason is it was important to Jesus, and what was important to Jesus ought to be important to us. And so we can learn something. Although we live in a different time, we can learn something from what God has here. On this map, I circled Bethel. Bethel. Amos talks about Bethel in this chapter and others too. That's just an orientation again. Israel, northern and southern kingdom, back in those days divided. There's Bethel, is the central worship center of the northern kingdom at that time. Here is just a little bit different of a picture. There's Bethel, again, the center of worship in the northern kingdom at the time of Amos. You'll see Beersheba in the lower part of the map there towards the bottom. And he has something to say about Beersheba. Over there on the Mediterranean Sea, remember Gaza, the Gaza Strip. Now, that's what you hear in the news, the Gaza Strip. That's the Philistines living there. And there's the northern kingdom, Israel, that runs up along the Jordan River there. One other slide here that might be helpful. You see the Dead Sea, you see that picture there, or the image of the Dead Sea. And just north of that, Gilgal. On some of these maps, Gilgal doesn't show on the map, but this one it does. Gilgal is the place where Israel came across as a people. They were in the wilderness, came out of Egypt in the wilderness, came into the Promised Land. And Gilgal was the place there that was very significant for that entry into the Promised Land, had very historical significance. So there's Bethel, you can see that on this map, just a little bit to the left of Jericho, north of Jerusalem. There's the red line, it shows generally, roughly where the division is between the northern and southern kingdoms. We've looked at that, and don't need to go back through it again today, but you know, these maps, just as a reminder, Bethel, Beersheba to the south, Gilgal over close to the Jordan River. So let me begin today by reading at Amos chapter 5, verse 1. And this is part one of Seek the Lord and Live. Won't possibly get through all of it today, but we'll get started here in part one of Seek the Lord and Live. Amos chapter 5, verse 1. Hear this word that I take up over you in lamentation, O house of Israel. Fallen no more to rise is the virgin Israel, forsaken on her land with none to raise her up. For thus says the Lord God, the city that went out 1,000 shall have 100 left, and that which went out 100 shall have 10 left to the house of Israel. For thus says the Lord to the house of Israel, seek me and live, but do not seek Bethel, do not enter into Gilgal, or cross over to Beersheba. For Gilgal shall surely go into exile, and Bethel shall come to nothing. Seek the Lord and live, lest he break out like fire in the house of Joseph and it devour with none to quench it for Bethel. Or you who turn justice into wormwood and cast down righteousness to the earth, he who made the Pleiades and Orion and turns deep darkness into the morning and darkens the day into night, who calls for the waters of the sea and pours them out on the surface of the earth, the Lord is his name, who makes destruction flash forth against the strong so that destruction comes upon the fortress. They hate him who reproves in the gate. They abhor him who speaks the truth. Therefore, because you trample on the poor and you exact taxes of grain from him, you have built houses of hewn stone and you shall not dwell in them. You have planted pleasant vineyards, but you shall not drink their wine. For I know how many are your transgressions and how great are your sins, you who afflict the righteous, who take a bribe and turn aside the needy in the gate. Therefore, he who is prudent will keep silent in such a time, for it is an evil time. Seek good and not evil, that you may live, and so the Lord, the God of hosts, will be with you, as you have said. Hate evil and love good, and establish justice in the gate. It may be that the Lord, the God of hosts, will be gracious to the remnant of Joseph. Therefore, thus says the Lord, the God of hosts, the Lord, in all the squares there shall be wailing, and in all the streets they shall say, alas, alas. They shall call the farmers to mourning and to wailing, those who are skilled in lamentation. And in all vineyards there shall be wailing, for I will pass through your midst, says the Lord. So Amos is using a language, of course, from his history and his context, but we have thought about, well, it's very difficult to look into our context today compared to what was going on in the mid-8th century B.C. But then we thought about how God doesn't change. His morality, his ethic doesn't change. How he works with people changes from the old covenant into the new covenant, the old contract into the new contract. But his ethic and his morality is the same. And so He's immutable. God doesn't change. And so when we read something like this from Amos chapter 5, or when we look at the first four chapters or the remainder of the book or any of the prophets, we're looking for the morality. We're looking for the ethic of God. And we don't want to get too tangled up in the details of what might have been practiced that day and whether or not we should do that practice or not. That's an important study, good study. But more importantly, the broad ethic of God. One of the pieces of the ethic of God that clearly comes through with Amos to this point, we know this, is that he takes a dim view of injustice, poor treatment of the poor, of the people who are limited in their influence, limited in their resources. He takes a very dim view of abusing those people, and there's an ethic, there's a moral there. You think God had changed? No. He takes a dim view of that today as well, although it's a different time, as I say. Well, Amos starts out, and he mentions this word, lamentation. Hear this word that I take up over you in lamentation, O house of Israel. Now, this is a lamentation is a funeral song, a funeral dirge. Someone has died. Something has died. Let me take up lamentation over you. For Amos believes at this time it's time to grieve, nation of Israel. They're puffed up and they generally have a lot of pride and arrogance in their life of who they are. They're confident in their relationship with God. And Amos comes and says, not so fast. Not so fast, you nation of Israel. You're not living the way God would have you live. So don't be claiming the name of God if you're not going to live in ways that please God. They are God's called people, God's chosen people. Hear this, the word that I take up over you in lamentation. For Amos, his view on Israel is that they are as good as dead. To take lamentation, that's what happens when someone dies, as I say. There's all of this wailing that goes on, professional mourners that come. For Amos, they are as good as dead. Fallen no more to rise is the virgin Israel, forsaken in her land, none to raise her up. There's going to be no opportunity to help oneself. Self-help is not going to be in the picture. They're not going to be getting any help from any foreign neighbors or any connections that they had, that they prided themselves on. There isn't going to be any of that because the judgment of God is coming, and God's judgment surpasses all of that. And when the judgment of God comes, that people is the same as dead. They're finished. For thus says the Lord, the city went out 1,000, shall have 100 left, and that which went out 100 shall have 10 left. There's going to be a remnant, a tenth, maybe 10%. Going to be a remnant. But the whole nation thinks they're the people of God and honored and arrogant in their worldview and their attitudes. We've seen that for 4 chapters. Only a tenth are going to survive this one. You're as good as dead because God's coming. Your fortresses will not protect you. Your skill in warfare is not going to protect you. Your financial position is not going to protect you. Your religion is not going to protect you. Your position in the community is not going to protect you. God is coming. And so they are the same as dead. Well, there's these two problems that we've thought about that these people in the northern kingdom, they have a corrupt and empty religion. The worship center is Bethel. A very important historical site is Gilgal. Some of the people in the northern kingdom would travel over that border. Remember the red line on the map? They would travel over the border and go into Judah, and they would go to Beersheba to worship, and there was an idol in Beersheba. They were going there, and they would sacrifice and do their religious practice in Beersheba even. And they had had syncretistic religion in Bethel. Gilgal, as I say, is an important place. Amos says, you're not going to find any hope there. All of your corrupt attitudes, all of your corrupt religion, all of your belittling about, all of your disobedience to the law of God, the commands of God, we could say your disobedience to the Ten Commandments, all of that, you can go to Bethel as often as you want to. Remember last week when Amos was being sarcastic to them, go to Bethel, go to Gilgal. Just heap up more judgment on yourself because they had lost sight of what it meant to be the people of God. And they were very arrogant and they were corrupt and they had an unjust legal system. A very unjust legal system. Abusing people. Taking advantage of people. So that the people in power could take advantage of the law. And the people who were subject to the law could never win. They couldn't. The law was being manipulated and being twisted so that those who had the multiple houses and the fortresses and who were living this grand lifestyle in Samaria, they were benefiting from the law. Amos says, you're not going to have any hope. You trusting in your power and your influence, your arrogance and your corruption. Amos is specifically speaking to those in power and in authority, but that radiates out. That attitude, that mentality seeps out and goes through the land. So all of Israel is impacted. As I mentioned a minute ago, it appears that God is announcing to them, look, only about a tenth of you, there's going to be a remnant, but only about a tenth of you are going to make it because of your sour attitude and the way you take advantage of this, the legal system. Don't go to Gilgal. Don't go to Beersheba. Verse 10, they hate him who reproves at the gate and abhor him who speaks the truth. See, in the ancient days, the gate was, we would say the district court. It was the courthouse. But people would enter the gate. He had a fortified city, a wall of protection around the city. People would come into the gate, and there'd be this courtyard, a quite large courtyard that would allow for hundreds and hundreds of people to gather in this courtyard, and they would have commerce. They'd do business there, and they would have civic things that needed to be taken care of there. But at the gate, when you read the Old Testament, you see that often, at the gate. Well, at the gate is where the judge is. And so he's saying, You hate him who reproves at the gate. That's the court. The one that comes and speaks truth, trying to get the truth out. You hate that. Because you trample, next verse, because you trample on the poor and exact taxes of grain from him. That's what happens in the courts. And then they build houses hewn with stone. They live an opulent lifestyle. We already saw Amos speak to that in the last chapter. But they live this opulent lifestyle. Now, here is some continuity with the Old Testament. See, we've gone through this. I won't rehearse, go back through it all again. But, you know, people saying, well, what difference does it make? It's the Old Testament. Well, you learn something about the character of God. Do you think God today approves of manipulation of the legal system? No. God's character, his ethic, his morality does not change. So if you ever have been part of a legal system and got manipulated by it, or perhaps are in a legal system and are being manipulated by it, be encouraged. You seek God. Seek the kingdom of God, and all of these things will be added unto you. And anyone listening to this message who is in the practice of manipulating the legal system that we live in the 21st century, woe to you. God is speaking through Amos. You may live an opulent lifestyle now. Your account may be swelling and big, and you can go on all of these extravagant travels that you want to go on, but God is coming for you. The ethic of God, the morality of God does not change. The way He deals with people does change. Old covenant, new covenant, but He despises manipulation of the needy, manipulation of the poor. These people were living in a very unjust way. They were exploiting the legal system so that they could live an opulent life. I wonder if there's any countries in the world today that might be something like this. Pretty much every country that Lydia and I have been into, which is a few, every country, people cry about the manipulation of the legal system. Read Amos. Maybe the preachers ought to preach on Amos. Any person get their law degree, go out and get themselves in a nice position with a firm, turn a blind eye to justice, manipulate the court, not going to admit that piece of evidence because it doesn't correspond to the rules of evidence, although it speaks clearly to the situation. Your day's coming. Your day is coming, buddy. Don't go to Bethel. Don't go to Gilgal. Don't go to Beersheba. Don't go to your house of worship. Don't open your Bible to read. Don't drink the cup and eat the bread. That is not going to help you. You're going to be destroyed. That's what Amos is coming down on here. Israel is warned to stop with the externality of their religion. They go to these places. They have this external religion going through all of these forms. And they're pursuing other kinds of living that are not aligned with God. They have been given, they're the chosen people of God. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, name changes to Israel, Moses, King David, Elijah, the prophets. They're chosen, they're unique. And they just aren't living like it. If you're here today and you're following Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are called as a unique person in this world. You are called as a unique and special person in this world, and that does not absolve you from responsibility to God, but that is a privilege. It's an honor, not a place to be arrogant, but it calls for responsible living in the eyes of God. Israel is to stop from their externality. They had pulled in the pagan worship practices, going to the temple. The girls that worked there were at the temple. The idolatrous bull was there, and they went through all of the forms. Remember last week, all of the sacrifices, giving many, many in excess of what was expected of them. But they did not have the heart for it. They did not have it. Verse 6, seek the Lord and live, lest he break out like fire on the house of Joseph. So when you see that house of Joseph, that's just another way Amos and the other prophets, they're using poetic language. The house of Joseph means Israel. You know, it could mean, you might read somewhere and it says the house of Ephraim, for example. It's Israel. It's just calling back to your ancestor. It would be like you in your house. You live in the house of your great-great-granddaddy. Not in the physical house, but you're of the lineage of whoever that is. So here's God's going to come and devour and quench it. Oh, you who turn, there you go. You who turn, verse 7, you who turn justice to wormwood and cast down righteousness to the earth. That's Amos's much more eloquent way of stating what I just did. The people are bitter. Wormwood is bitterness. They cannot get any justice. And the people are bitter. They're angry in the country that they live in. You cast down righteousness. What is doing right? People trying to do right, bringing their claim to the court, to the gate, bringing their claim, trying to do right, testifying to the truth, and you crush it. Now, Amos also gives a message of mercy and hope. When we read the prophets, when we look at Amos in particular here, but if we read the other ones, they have a very stern message. This message, this book, all of these chapters, they're very stern messages. When we take a significant gaze at them, God expects something of his people. And if we're going to call ourselves the people of God today, he expects something from his people. And so Amos is crying out on this lamentation. Hear this, as he takes up lamentation, he considers them, he's saying to them, it would have shocked them, by the way, they would have been stunned to hear that they're as good as dead, not us. Of all the people in the world, not us. Take up lamentation over you. You're as good as dead. But seek the Lord and live. That's hope. The freight train is coming. The freight train of God's wrath is coming on Israel. There's no escape. Nobody is going to. God's holiness has been spurned. It's been stepped on. It's been neglected. People calling upon his name, using his name as profanity, not living according to the way he lives. His judgment, his wrath is coming. Can't stop it. That's one of the messages from the prophets. Can't stop God. When the judgment of God opens up and it's coming, it's coming. But there is always mercy and hope. Sound like the gospel? Always mercy and hope. Until God's fury gets there in that moment, turn, seek God. It's coming. Seek him and live. Live. Live for God. Live in righteousness. Live in justice. Seek God. Seek. Well, it almost sounds like Jesus. Continuity, Old Testament, New Testament. Seek first. You can almost hear Jesus if he was there that day with Amos. My judgment is coming on you. Nothing you can do about it. Seek first the kingdom of heaven and his righteousness. Why don't you do that? Instead of running around and trying to get some help from Edom or some from Assyria, trying to plead your case and get some agreement with Assyria, or maybe Egypt will come save the day. Maybe the people in Gaza or the Philistines will show up. Maybe up in Syria, maybe they'll help us. Or maybe we'll go some more sacrifices. We'll get in here and we'll give every third hour, we'll give a new sacrifice. Why don't you just seek the kingdom of heaven? Some people today need to hear that. Seek first the kingdom of heaven, which means push in, seek, concentrate, think, study on the Word of God. Study the Word. Study. Live. Be determined to live for God. Amos is concerned about justice. When Amos says, seek the Lord and live, means to turn in repentance. Turn from all of this other that Amos has described, turn and start living for God, people. God has revealed himself to you, Israel. Why don't you just obey and live for him? Enjoy your life. God's not coming to make your life a misery. He has given you his law so that you would be joyful and you would thrive in life. But the point right here is, and the last one we'll finish on for today, part one, is that God is a God of mercy and hope. God is a God of mercy and hope. And that's what the people at Next Step are doing, being a channel from God on God Most High, from God Most High, coming down into you, out. Mercy and hope. Your hope, your the mercy that you need, unidentified person, hypothetical person, the mercy that you need comes from this God that Amos is talking about. From this God that says, seek the kingdom. Seek the kingdom first. You're burdened. You got a lot that's you're in your life. It's hard. It is hard. Other people know it's hard. But come to God. Seek God first. God is a God of mercy and hope, and he works in ways that we would never, never dream of. In unexpected ways. And he uses individuals. He uses his people who have committed their lives to him, committed their lives to Jesus, to be channels that God works through to offer that hope in their own unique vocabulary and their personality. He works that way. Look at that. Three times in this passage. We'll get to the rest of it next week. Three times. Verse 4. Seek me and live. Verse 6. Seek the Lord and live. Verse 14. Seek good, not evil, that you may live. God wants you. He wants us to live. Live in the fullest sense of the word. Shalom. In the fullest sense of wholeness. He wants us to live, and that comes through seeking him. But the culture of Israel that day said anything but this. Amos is trying to shock these people, and he's shocking them with truth. God's coming, but you could be one of the remnant if you would just seek him and turn from your ways. There's our message of hope in Amos. Hope. and mercy. When you read the Old Testament, when you read the prophets, they get up in people's faces. There's nobody that Amos is talking to that likes what he has to say. But they always have a message of hope and always have a message of mercy. That hope and mercy is continually in front of you. Come to Jesus, seek Him, seek the kingdom, and experience that hope and mercy in your life. Let me pray for us. God, thank you for this prophet and the beauty that he gives to us in every chapter that we go through. It's your beauty coming through Amos, calling for repentance, calling for return, but also calling and giving hope to that we have a way out. All of us have a way out in our life, and that's by seeking you, but no other places. Help us, God, to have strength in you, even when we face uncertainty or injustice in our own life. And I pray for those that have experienced it and maybe are experiencing an unjust system. Help them to find comfort and solace and strength in knowing that you see all things. You are God. You see all things and will settle accounts on your day. Jesus, I pray for your people here. I pray that they would go out and have a safe week, a safe day. I pray, Lord, for our kids and students that are here. I pray, Lord, that you would give them a good week, a helpful week, an encouraging week. Give them opportunities to laugh and enjoy their day and enjoy the week. Help them to learn and to grow. I ask that you protect their minds, protect their hearts and bodies. Thank you, God. I thank you for this congregation, their willingness to help families, help babies, help mothers and fathers in their time of need and uncertainty. Please bless and protect this family, this group of your people. I pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen.